Praise the Lord. As we were coming down the road, a prayer started in my heart. I was talking to the Lord, and I thought about the wonderful blessings and outpourings of the Lord that He has bestowed upon His people. And I found myself praying, Lord, do it again. Bless us again. Meet us in our assembly again. I prayed like that silently down the road. We got a little ways down. I found myself praying that out loud. Lord, bless us again. Lord, bless the saints. Lord, save souls in these meetings. One thing is sure, life is uncertain. Death is sure. Sure. May God help each and every one. We kind of hanging on the words of the song there. They said we keep holding on to Jesus. Now, I like the thought of holding on to Jesus, but I believe we can go one better. That's get in Him and stand up. It's all right now, not criticizing holding on to Him. Sometimes it's all we can do to hold on to the Lord in these turbulent times we're living in. Sometimes it's all we can do is to say, Lord, have mercy on my soul. Help me, Lord, to live like I ought to live. Yes, I know how it is. But bless the Lord, He has abundance of grace for you and I tonight. He has a blessing for His people. We are the sheep of His pasture. I like that thought. I'm His sheep. Amen. And I'm looking for Him to care for me. I'd like to draw our minds to this thought. Started out in New Orleans. Everything that has a beginning has an end. I thought about that. I was told that on the night of the afternoon of my birth, they announced, you have a little son, Mr. and Mrs. Hargrave. The years have gone by and there's just been change after change after change from the time of my beginning, see? And as I look and consider the course of life and the way it is with man, I recognize I'm heading to an ending. We're all heading to an ending. It's going to end. I was really taken up by some books that one of my sons has. In these books, there are some stories. And you read this story and you get down to the part that's the end, that it has two or three endings. It impressed me. And I asked him some questions about it. I said, now, what happens in this story if it comes up and you don't like the ending? He says, oh, you can read another ending. I said, what if you don't like that? And he said, oh, it's several endings. There's where the Lord began to speak to my heart. You and I can choose the ending of our life. You and I have some options. It doesn't have to end on a bleak note. It doesn't have to end in defeat, sorrow, and remorse. It can end in victory. I have fought a good fight. I have kept the faith. It can end in victory, praise the Lord. Choose your ending. We're working on that right now. We had a beginning. In the beginning of our life, we didn't have much to say about things. We just found ourselves on the scene. This is mother, and this is dad, or auntie, or uncle, or whoever it was that helped us along. But then we began to gain knowledge. We began to get understanding. We began to be exposed to things around us, environment, and so forth. And we began to take form and shape. Most of us are the products of where we come from. May God help us. But somewhere down the road, somewhere in that, from the beginning and before the end, we've had an encounter with the Lord. Some have had several. The Lord came on the scene. The Lord visited us. The Lord began to speak to us. He began to deal with us. Most of the time, we did not heed the first dealings of the Lord. Most of the time, we were too busy pursuing or going or coming to hear God. We'd tell him later, I'm going to take care of you later. Some of us did that, right? But I want to impress upon us tonight, time's running out and we're headed for our end. The only hope you and I have of making peace and a clear settlement with God is somewhere in between that space of a beginning and the end. If the end gets upon us before we make our calling and election sure, it's too late then. It's too late. May God help us. Let's read some of the Word of God that He's impressed on our heart. It's my earnest desire tonight that the Lord will visit us by His Spirit, that some soul will be delivered from the bondage of sin and Satan and darkness, from the confusion that disobedience to God always brings. The 24th chapter of the Gospel of Matthew, question was put to Jesus, the third verse. And as He sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto Him privately, saying, tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of thy coming? And here, and of the end of the world. Now, it's been pretty well taken by some that this world is not going to end. Things are going to go on like they've been going on, and folks are going to keep doing what they've been doing, but I believe there's some circumstances before us tonight that every serious thinker, every conscientious mind is beginning to wonder, how much longer can things go on in the direction that they're going? How much longer can it stay like this? We're beginning to think about this question, when's going to be? When will the end of the world be? We don't have that answer for you. But I think the important point is to get this thought on our minds tonight. When is the end coming? The end is coming, see? Oh, we need to get that thought on our minds tonight. The end is coming. Your end is coming and my end is coming. We need to get that on our minds. Well, when is the end coming? What's going to be the events? What are going to be the circumstances? Bible readers all over are acquainted with these thoughts, that the ushering in of the end of time would be a time of infidelity and corruption and vice, of wholesale going away from God, pointing to the end of all things. Oh, God help us. We're in the midst of that now, and we're right in the center of it, and God is pronouncing His judgments on sin. Man had run, seemed like, right down to the end of the wire now, and we have a thing that's flooding into the earth, which I believe to be God's judgment against man's rebellion and disobedience to His Word. The Lord is touching allowing the whole earth to be touched by this thing. And I'm going to tell you what it is. This AIDS thing that's come flooding down on the earth, think about it as you will, but it's got folks thinking about the end. You've got to think about the end. God wants us thinking about the end, see? Oh, you can have an ending that'll be sad and gloomy and no hope. You can have an ending, glory to God, where the angels are waiting for you. I'm talking about the ending of this life. That won't be the end of you and I. It'll just cease our activity in this present world. But it won't be the end in the sense that our awareness is gone. Oh, God, help us tonight. Speak to our hearts tonight. Everything that has a beginning has to have an end. It has an end in this world, in this life. This question was put to Jesus. When will the end of the world be? God help us. The 14th verse, it gives some indications. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations. And then shall the end come. The Lord is pointing here again to the fact that the end is coming, that there is an appointed time in the which the Lord is going to call everything to a close. The cessation of all activity, stopping of everything, plans and dreams and hopes, at that time will come to their end, their ending. There will be no further activity by man when this gospel shall have been preached to all nations. then shall the end come. Oh, I like to say right in the midst of this thought that there's a little space for those that will get in an earnest hurry about their souls. There's a little place that you can just kind of depress. You can squeeze right through, glory to God. You can get right in under the presence of the Lord and be set free from sin and Satan and the bondage of the effects of sin, evil habits and all of those things. You can get deliverance from that and be made whole tonight by the power of God before the end comes, before you're closed down, before it's too late. The end is coming. Notice these words. When the gospel is preached for a witness to all the world, then shall the end come. Oh, are you going to speculate tonight? Well, I wonder, are there any places where the gospel hasn't been preached? That means the end can't come. Are you a speculator? Are you one that's kind of holding out on, I see this thing's going to come, but I still have a little space to do other things besides seek the Lord. I want to warn you tonight, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he's near. It's time to forsake wickedness and wicked ways. Your end is coming. You're in. Oh, you know, I thought about, got a picture of in my mind of the governor of the state. And there they passed some legislation before him and announced to the community and to the state there that we're expecting the governor to sign this. And when he signs it, certain things will happen in our state. And I'm thinking about that now. I'm up in heaven somewhere around the throne of God, the papers, as it were, that are the very finishing notes of this world are before the Lord. Oh, can you see that now? Before this great authority in heaven, and he's pondering over time of the end of all things. Got his ink pen in his hand. You know, when the governor signs the thing, we don't get the effects of it right away. But it's in motion, see, and it's been already verified. And in a process of time, those things that are put into motion begin to affect every citizen of that community. With God in heaven holding the pen, as it were, to sign the proper document. If you can see the figure I'm putting before you, that pronounced the end of time, we understand that the angel with the sounding trump is waiting to go forth on the corners of the earth, raise the trumpet, and blow time no more. Oh, where will you be then? What will happen to all of my plans and dreams when the horn sounds time no more? I'm thinking of the poet writer that said, do you know the end of time is near? Be ready when it comes. 1 Peter 4:7. Let's look over here now. Oh, he's signing into motion now. The events that will trigger the end already signed, just waiting for it to reach down to you and I. There are clear indications all around us, if we'll look for them, that something's happening that's bringing down to a close time as we have known it. Well, somebody said, I don't know about all that. Well, I'm going to invite you tonight to look at your own life. Are you on the increase or the decrease? All right now, isn't that something? I looked up in the mirror and I can remember real clear, wasn't one gray hair in my head. Got to combing around, I thought it was dirt in my head. Praise God, and I went to brushing and flicking at it. It didn't move. Oh, that's a sign! The end, your end, is coming! The laws are already in motion that will usher you out into eternity, into the presence of God. Are you ready for that? Oh, somebody said, I'm not ready for that. I'll hold that back a little bit. I'm not ready to think about meeting God. I want you to think about meeting God tonight. I want you to think about passing through these double doors and the next set of doors and going right out into eternity. Stand before the judgment seat of Christ to give an account of our lives. Oh, that's a thought in you. Step out these doors with all intents and purposes to go to my home and end up in my long home. God help us. End of time is near. Our end is near. You know, they say on some of these warranties, they say, well, so many miles or whatever, certain amount of months, whichever comes first. I'm going to say it like this tonight. Whether Jesus comes or you die, your end is coming. Whichever comes first, our ends are certain. God help us. All right, the call of Scripture, 1 Pete 4 and 7. Now, this is the Word of God. This isn't the preacher just saying this. The Word of God says, the end. I want us to dwell on this thought. You know, I remember as a child, going out to the theater there and for the afternoon cereal, and that was about a dime or something like that. And we'd sit in there, and they'd show this and show that and show the other. And then we'd just be getting engrossed in it, kind of, and then would come up this, the end. And I remember wanting it to continue. I remember not wanting it to stop. Oh, dear ones, tonight we can have a life and joy and peace that won't stop when our end comes. Oh, it'll go on and on and on. It'll blossom and become its full fruit in eternity. Glory to God. Oh, in this damn world, we are sons and daughters of God. But what will it be to be there, Brother Charles? What will it be to receive the end of faith? Oh, it's going to be blessed. It's going to be blessed. No end, see? Around here after a while, this revival service will come to the end. This service tonight will come to the end. Oh, it doesn't have to end. The truths taking root in a heart of good ground, taking root in a mind that's determined and convinced that this is what God is calling for. There's no end to that. Oh, the Word lives on and sprouts and grows and matures and prospers, and you benefit from it. You become a blessing and an influence for God wherever you are. Doesn't have to end, see? Doesn't have to end. The end of all things is, notice the words. Read it.
Be ye therefore sober.
Read.
And watch unto prayer.
You know, when something is at hand, is it coming? It's at hand. Now get a hold of this. Is the end coming? It's at hand. Remember, I told you, all the authority has to do is send the thing in motion. We may not feel the effects of it for a while, but it's so anyhow. The end is at hand. It's so anyhow. The end is at hand. Oh, we need to line up with God and His Word. If you ever intended to be saved, if you ever intended to meet the end of your life in peace and victory, now is the time to take advantage of that. God help us. Now's the time to move. Get on the move for God. Seek ye the Lord while He may be found. Call upon Him while He's near. Let the wicked forsake his way. It's time. Oh, it's time now. This is the urgency of this hour, is to get ready to meet God. Somebody said, what's the next greatest event that's going to take place? You can think and think and think. But I really believe the coming of the Lord to crack the sky.
Yes.
The next greatest thing that this earth will experience will be, behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out. Glory to God to me. Will you run to Him or will you run from Him? It's going to be a commotion, isn't it? Some are going to be saying, even so, come, Lord Jesus, with beams of joy on their faces. Oh, it's Jesus in the sky, sister. It's Jesus. Did you hear? Did you hear it? It's Jesus. And some will throw their hands up, and others will just cover up. The Word of God says that. Crying and wailing and running. You know, we've heard that. So tell, we've relegated it into the realms of fairy tales. The Bible says the end is at hand.
Yeah.
Now listen to the other exhortation. Be sober. Be sober. Now look at the other one. Watch unto prayer. That's sound instruction for the end of time. Sober. Sober about this thing. Like those that are waiting for their Lord. Ready. Waiting for the return of their Lord. Living measured up every day. Living measured up. Every day. Living everything I know. Every day. Being diligent before God. Being faithful to God. Being true to the local community. congregation, supporting and praying for my pastor, living ready, glory to God. Ready for the Lord. Oh, he can come, I'm ready. Praise God, I haven't tried to shelter and cover my children. I've lived the truth and told the truth. Oh, listen, we're talking about being ready now. Being ready. Been faithful to my neighbors. Been faithful to all around me to tell them the truth about Jesus. Oh, that's part of being ready. Done all I can to shed the gospel light around and about. And wherever the Lord opened the door, I endeavored to do what little bit I could do. Why, the end is at hand. We want to gather in souls. We want to be used of the Lord. Isn't that precious thought? The end is at hand. Be sober. Soberness is the need of the hour for you and I that expect to be with the Lord. Soberness. Living circumspect. Living correct and to the point. Oh, this is no time now for a that'll do experience. You know the old that'll do carpenter. Amen. Did you put a square on it? Oh, no, but that'll do. Big old crack in the joint, that'll do. Oh, this is no time for a that'll do experience with the Lord. Everything needs to be jammed up. Pay a full ticket, praise the Lord. Get a real experience tonight if you don't have one. Get ready to meet the Lord. Oh, praise God. Oh, I haven't been reading my Bible like I should, but that'll do. He'll understand and say, well done. Oh, no time for that. We're going to have to get down to business. Preacher, you told us that last time you were here. Oh, it's more urgent then. More urgent now than it was then. If you heard this before, take it as an indication. It's more urgent now. My sister-in-law was talking. Might have been her. You know they got automobiles now to talk to you. She had her start talking to her. Says, you need to get some gas. She said she looked. Paying no attention. Kept driving. After a while, I said, you're running low. You need to get some gas. She said, this car's talking. She said, well, I'll get some gas. Said she rode a little further and that thing said, you need some gas now. Folks, God help us all. Help us tonight. The warnings have gone out clear and consistent and steady. If you're not where you ought to be, you need to get there now. You need to get there now, tonight. Oh, I'll be back Wednesday night, and I'm going to deal for my soul. Tomorrow night, I'm going to get on that altar. You see, the first night is a kind of a feel-around night, and to see what the Lord wants to do. He wants to save and bless and deliver. He wants to do again what he's done to bless and encourage his saints all along. Oh, he'll do it. He'll do it in your life and mine if we'll make space for it. If we'll give him room to operate, he'll do it in us. You need God now. We are so close to the end, you need him now. It is dangerous to leave the service unsaved. You need God now. I need him now. You know, I like the folks to realize that I believe my preaching. Amen. What kind of preacher would it be that doesn't believe his own preaching? I like the cook. They said, oh, I just love to cook, but I don't eat my cooking. I don't want it either. You preach it. Do you believe it, preacher? I believe what I'm preaching. Endeavoring to live by it and obey it. I know I need God now. Stress and strain of this life, the pressures and the forces of darkness that come against the people of God every day, we need God now. The different hellish things that have come upon the face of the earth to challenge righteousness, to try to refute the word of God. Help every conscientious minded believer tonight to know we need to be as close to God as we can get and stay there. It's no time for that'll do. It's no time for that kind of judging by the sight. Get the word of God in your heart and obey it to the full. Right now, we need God now. Let's look. This same 1 Peter has some interesting things to say to us. Read around the 17th verse. Read it, please.
For the time has come.
The time is come.
Must begin at the house of God.
Consider this word tonight.
If it first begin with us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God?
Oh, listen. Judgment here at the house of God, starting with us, the saved, the saints, the brothers and the sisters. God is judging and weighing the quality of our lives. He's getting ready for the end. Oh, the Holy Ghost is moving fervently, and he's in a real... Have you ever seen anyone really determined and they were on the move and you saw them downtown, but they had a look on their face and they were moving and they were stern about it, and you said, well, oh, he's really going somewhere. He didn't even see me. The Holy Spirit is busy about God's work. He's moving and blessing souls that are serious about living for God. But those that are kind of going along, he's moving so that they're being bypassed. You've got to desire God. You've got to want God. Oh, we need to recognize this. The Holy Spirit is busy in the Father's concern, and he's pouring out blessing on those that are looking toward him for a blessing in hell. Those are kind of sliding and gliding. You'll be overlooked. Time is of such now that to spend hours and weeks, days, months, and years to try to get a soul to obey the word of God, you don't have that kind of time anymore. I love everyone here. I'd like to see everyone here make it safely to heaven. But this meeting, I've taken notice. You ever notice how the meetings are getting a little shorter? The 10-day meeting now is 7 or 8. The week revival is 4 and 5 days. I'm not criticizing it. You know what that says to me? The time element. It's a great change. Oh, we got 10 full days. Let's see, 3 services a day, the potential of hearing 30 gospel messages. That ought to be enough to get us straight, shouldn't it? The meeting comes and goes, and some are still not saved. Oh, the Lord cutting it down, isn't he? Service come in now, so you're getting 30 messages, you're going to get 6, and you better move. All right now, the Holy Spirit is moving on. He's touching lives and blessing. But you and I will have to be in the place to be blessed. He's moving on now. You know, when we think we have a plenty, you know how we do with it. We think we got a plenty, we just kind of waste. But you let it get narrowed down to where that's my part they're throwing down. I become more serious and more concerned. Lord, I don't want to miss my soul's portion, my soul's blessing. I want you to help me, Lord, to be ready to meet you. And if I'm ready to meet you, I'm ready to serve you tonight. There's some blessings in being ready. The one that's ready tonight can get up and testify right now. The one that's living close to God doesn't have to work up any kind of emotion to say amen. Tell about where folks are. Take them 2 or 3 nights to get geared up. You're a little behind. The meeting's on now. Should have been shouting and singing all afternoon. Woo, meeting tonight. Getting ready for it, Lord. I want you to save. You ought to have some soul on your heart. Some individuals that you price up to God. What do you mean, price up to God? I mean the prayers of the saints. When they go up before the throne of God, it's like flashes of light. When God sees those flashes of light, that's the saints, that's my people praying. Praying for this one and praying for that one. May God help us. To be diligent, to be ready. Ready, right on the button. You know, I can appreciate, I know you do too, those that are ready. You can call on them and they're ready. Now, that's no accident they're ready. They pay full fare. They're keeping up to date. They're walking close. They're obedient to the Lord. That's why they're ready. We have to be ready like that. Right now. Let's look now. We call another scripture. All right, finish that. That's it. See?
And if the righteous scarcely be saved,
get a hold of this.
Where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear?
We're going to have to value more what we have. If the righteous scarcely be saved, you are going to have to value your salvation. This is going to take me safely through. You know, I've traveled abroad and we have to have a passport. And I'm going to tell you something. All the things I hang on to, I've never parted with my passport. Yes, I sleep with it. I know it's the only way that I'll get out of the country without any hassles. Passport is important. Salvation experience is important. Eat with it, sleep with it, walk with it, work with it, talk with it. Don't ever lay it aside. Your salvation experience is vital to your end. Oh, when we come before, we walk through that man and I feel real good. He said, passport. I said, yes, sir. Everything's in order. And he just passes me through. Oh, I've seen some of them come up there and they say, passport. And they fumble. And I see them go to looking at them. And I get a thought in my mind. What about God? When the Lord says, give an account of your life. Give an account of your years of service. Give an account of your stewardship. And then we go to fumbling around. Well, I know I need to be closer. See, that's what I call fumbling around. I know I should pray more. You're fumbling. See? Fumbling around. You stand over here. And I see that look on their faces. And I touch my passport again. Thank God. Got everything I need to go through. Get everything you need to go through, saints. If you're here tonight and you're not saved, Jesus will save you. Oh, his great arm is extended to deliver the captive, those that are held by habits and powers. You realize I want to do right, but something's keeping me back. Jesus Christ will break the power of whatever's keeping you back. Save your soul and set you free. Get you ready, fully equipped. Oh, there's nothing like being ready. Oh, I love that feeling. Judgment will begin at the house of God. I say, folks, it. The saints. Everywhere. Not just here in Green Pasture. God's going to come down through the ranks. Now it begins at us, and it will. What's going to be the end of those who obey not the gospel of God? And if the righteous scarcely be saved, you know what that tells me? I have no room to coast. What God has revealed in my heart and life about living for him and obeying him, I have to do that. You know, salvation's a wonderful experience. The Lord deals with every one of us and makes it plain as to what he requires of us. And we have to do it. I want to say it a more positive way. We love to do it. We love to obey all the Savior does say. We love it. Living for the Lord, I love this. I'm not in a strain tonight, but I just feel all about me this urgency of telling every one of us tonight the end is certain. It's already signed into motion. It hasn't reached us, but it's so. Some stand back and say, well, I thought it was going to be the end, but I see things are still going on. You look closer. You examine closer. There is a general deterioration of life. Why are you saying that? Because crime and all sort of things like that are on the increase. It's not safe. More things are happening. Famines are in the earth. Oh, you might have a famine. Maybe you ain't good tonight. There's folks that are starving to death right in this world we live in. And imagine that we have so much and we hear about them dumping so many potatoes out in the ocean and throwing away this and throwing away that and say, how can they do that with people starving? These are indications of the end. Now, I have a special request before the Lord about the end. Lord, anoint your body. Set us aflame that we'll be busy workers for you, gleaning and saving, working to draw in and gather in all the souls we can. That's my prayer request. Lord, don't let us sit back and say, well, I got my passport. Get it, get ready, get everything right. Now let's pull some out of the fire. Let's go to work with Jesus. let's go with men and women who know that their Lord is coming back. You know that makes a good witness when you have it settled in your own heart. You know that makes a convincing witness when you believe it so yourself. You tell someone from the point of view, I know it's going to happen, it's so. You check every time you bought a product from someone who was selling to you, you bought it because they convinced you. Sure. He told it so well and seemed so true and demonstrated, so you just had to get it. We've got something far better than soap powder. We've got something far better than these little flimsy deteriorating things. We have eternal life, the message of God to deliver the souls that will give them eternal life. That will deliver them from this present evil world. And the results of an end, disobedience to God. The righteous will scarcely be saved. Where shall the ungodly, where shall the sinner appear? That's quite a question. And I get in my mind when I read these scriptures, he will not appear. He will not come up on the register. If the righteous scarcely be saved, if we, by living obediently to God, have done only that which we should do, we ought to be considered what? Unprofitable servants. Now, where is somebody going to appear who has not been faithful to God? Oh, may God help us. It helps us to humble our hearts to know this. Scarcely be saved. Oh, Lord, help me. Oh, Lord, help me to be ready. Help me to dig some more. The end is at hand. May God help us. Let's look at another scripture, Hebrews 6, verse 8. Oh, Lord, will you settle down upon us tonight? Will you help us to get a stir deep down inside, a smoldering desire to love and live for you? Let it burst out into flames of devotion, truthfulness and sincerity, purity, righteousness and godliness. Hebrews 6, and let's read the 8th verse.
But that which bare thorns and briars is rejected.
Yes. That which beareth thorns. Anyone in here ever thought of a good use for thorns? You ever been caught up in thorns? You ever got one? You had use for it then, didn't you? Get rid of it. Burn it. On our key lime trees at home. Key lime is a nice fruit. That tree's got some thorns on it. And you can hardly pick the fruit without getting pricked and scratched. You need gloves. You need some kind of protection. I can't think of a valuable use for thorns. Listen to this comparison.
That which beareth thorns.
Hold up a minute. That which beareth thorns. Now you know what he's talking about here? Not just the bushes and trees that happen to have thorns. Lives that have merely been a life of thorns. Agitation and irritation and irresponsibility, thorns and briars. These are things that cause a problem. If you're working in the yard and trying to get things in order, these things give you trouble. Briars and thorns and burrs. Can you imagine what disobedience and not submitting to God, how it appears in his sight at the thought of these scriptures? Thorns and briars. Our holding out against God and our not being obedient to him is like thorns and briars. It's rejected. You reject it. I've heard of anybody bringing someone that's sick a bouquet of thorns. No, we get the roses and the flowers, the beautiful things. We don't bring them a bouquet of thorns. But you know, we can live a life that comes up in the face of God as a bouquet of thorns. Bouquet of briar. Oh, I pray God stir us deeply. Don't want my life to register a bouquet of thorns. I've been nothing but a disappointment to God. I've disappointed those who love me and pray for me, those who've instructed me in righteousness. I've been thorns to them. I've caused them to weep. I've caused them great suffering because of disobedience and rebellion. Thorns. Some of our children come out thorns to us. Oh, God, help us. It's rejected and nigh unto cursing. Oh, wouldn't you just like to step back and banish those thorns out of your yard? Don't ever come back again. Just curse them, ban them. Sure, if I could get rid of these bad things in my yard, I'd be happy. That condition provokes from God the very sensing here that is something that is nigh. Just banish it from my sight. Banish it. I'll have nothing to do with it. Just think of being in that condition with the end at hand. In a condition of being banished from the presence of God, and the end is at hand. You see that? I don't want the Lord thinking like that about me. Banished from my sight. That's the word of God. He'll say to these, depart ye! That's what you do with thorns and briars, isn't it? You burn them up. You root them out and dig them out as best you can, and you burn them up. Quicker the better. Oh, that rebellion life, that standing away from God, that slothful moving, that kind of one foot in the church and one foot in the world. It's like thorns and briars unto God. Amen. Nigh unto cursing. Read a little more of that. Is there more? Okay. His end. That's what I want. Whose end is to be burned. It's not a fable. This is not a fairy tale. Remember I told you that man at the customs of the people whose papers weren't right, they said, stand over here. Set them aside. Reserved for something. I guess they checked them a lot closer or whatever. I was glad to get out of there. But I saw him say, you stand over there. Oh, don't you know? There's going to be a great dividing at that time. This one enter into the joy of the Lord. You go over here. You over here. You over here. You can go this way. You go over here. Oh, dear ones, tonight. And it's not going to be a long process. It'll happen rapidly. Twinkling of an eye. God will do the business he has to do. Oh, but if you have everything up to date, there won't be any sorrow or sadness for you. Be ushered into his presence forevermore. Read on.
Amen. But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing.
Now watch.
That one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day.
God help us.
The Lord is not slack.
Not slack. Thank the Lord.
And some men count slack.
Thank the Lord.
But as long suffering to us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance.
Yes.
But the day of the Lord will come.
Will come. As a thief in the night.
In the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise.
Remember, it's already been signed into effect.
And the elements shall melt with fervent heat.
Fervent heat.
The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up.
Where am I going to go? The earth and the works burned up. Where will we go? Where will I? What will I do at a time like that? What can I do? The old songwriter said, where could I go but to the Lord? Oh, friend, tonight, realizing this world is on its death throes now, realizing that my life is swiftly moving down the river of time to be no more, now what can I do to assure myself peace with God? Oh, whatever you need to do tonight. I'm going to urge you to find a place to pray. I'm going to urge you tonight to find this altar bench. Come and kneel at the feet of Jesus. Lord, I want you to help me. Lord, I'm pouring myself out before you in the face of your scriptures, in the face of your word, in the face of what I know I ought to and need to do. I want you to save my soul. Deliver me from sin that I might serve you, Lord. That I might use the remaining portion of my life to glorify your name. Oh, there are some benefits of salvation, not just getting my soul relieved of that burden of knowing I'm lost, and that's wonderful, but there are some benefits that'll affect your home. I like to remind people of that. Because there are a large number of homes in our land today that are in trouble, on the verge of breakup, about to split up, tearing up. The devil's in there. We need salvation. It's the only thing that can right the ship. Jesus Christ, working in your heart mightily, is the only thing that can help your home. Oh, you see, there are benefits in God that reach far. When we stand off from Him, we rob ourselves of all those benefits. We rob ourselves of having that peace which passeth all understanding. A little more, please.
Amen. Seeing then that all these things should be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in all holy conversation?
Yes.
God, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God.
Yes.
Wherein the heavens being on fire should be dissolved, and the elements shall melt and burn it.
All right, I'm going to stop there. I want to stop right here tonight. Just as this earth had its beginnings at the pronouncements of God, let there be light, and all of that creative process that we read about in the book of Genesis, that same word that brought it into being, that's the word that will bring it to close. Oh, the same power that fused life into your and my body and brought us forth, it's the same word that will say it's no more time for him or her. What are we going to do? Oh, do you know the end of time? Your end is near. Be ready when he comes. Won't you pray tonight? Won't you come tonight and kneel down and get a clearance with God that cannot be moved, easily shaken? Get a clearance that will result in a life that will testify to the glory of God. I'm going to urge you to come and pray tonight. Come and pray.